Hi there, I'm Krish Saroy and welcome to the Sacred Wild Podcast. Each week I show you how to live your purpose and discover your own sacred wild spirit. On the podcast we explore the nexus point where nature, consciousness, leadership and activism come together. I talk with thought leaders to get their insights and wisdom about our collective transformation. I also show you how to own your power, give your gifts and make your highest impact on this world. So with that, let's dive into this next episode. Hello everyone and welcome to the Sacred Wild Podcast. This week I am so happy and so pleased to have one of my most beautiful friends on the planet on with us, Eloise Surfleet Middleton. Hi Eloise, how are you?
I'm amazing, thank you, and I'm very happy to be with you today.
It's really great to have you on here. Eloise is an incredibly gifted spiritual teacher. She is an Akashic Record healer and reader, and also teaches people how to do their Dharma, which really is about how to really find and live your purpose on this planet. And that's really where we're going to be going today. So, Eloise, just as I always do, just kind of kicking in, just tell us a little bit about yourself and kind of how you got to where you got to.
Well, it's been an interesting journey. Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be with you and your audience.
So happy to have you.
It's been a convoluted journey. Like, it took me a long time to accept that I'm a spiritual teacher to start with. If you'd have said that to me in my 20s, I'd have laughed at you because I was a cocaine snorting, alcohol drinking, city living girl who was very troubled, actually. I was deeply depressed at points in my life, thought about taking my own life at quite a few points.
Right.
And was very disconnected. I was suffering with depression and I wasn't, you know, really in my body, I would say.
Yeah, okay.
And
okay.
I understand now it's because I hadn't really opened and my connection.
Mm-hmm.
And then at 28, my Saturn return, I had a stonking Saturn's return with my mother.
Good old Saturn return,
absolutely. And it kind of woke me up from childhood to adulthood, and I had voices in my head, and I was guided to where my mother had tried to commit suicide.
Wow. So it was
quite a dramatic awakening. And then obviously after that event, luckily my mother was okay, but the fact that I'd been guided in such a way was really like a wake-up call to say, well, I always knew there'd been more to life than I could see, and there was hope there was more to life than I could see.
Yeah.
But that experience kind of...
Well, quite. I mean, you know, just right there. How did that shock? Because, I mean, obviously, if you've been kind of not open to that kind of stuff before, that just shows up.
Yeah.
And Saturn Returns is famous for just blowing stuff up.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So, like, how did that show up for you? And how did you, like, receive it, as it were? Because that must have been quite mind-blowing in a certain kind of way.
Well, I'd actually gone to see a psychic probably about a month before this happened. And how that came about was really interesting. Like, my dad was an atheist. Nobody in my family, you know, ever talked about spirituality.
Mm.
I didn't go to, like, I went to Sunday school, but that was the extent of my faith.
Right.
And then a friend of mine, because my mum was very ill at that point, she was suffering with very bad depression.
Mm.
I really felt that I needed divine, I just wanted to talk to somebody to say everything was going to be okay.
Right.
And my girl that worked for me in the company I work for, she said, oh, you've got to go and see this psychic. She's amazing. And,
wow,
you know,
okay.
And I just thought, well, do you know what? Why not? And I kind of, the inner side of me, it said, let's go. Mm-hmm. And I was, you know, 28 and I trekked out to Essex on a middle of a kind of winter's evening. Brilliant. Got the train out there, and I remember
came out to my old stomping ground.
Yeah. And I remember this, like, she saw this woman in this kind of little room, and I remember going in and literally she opened the door and she let me in. I sat down and she said, I know why you're here. Everything's going to be okay. Your mother is going to be okay. And it was like, my God.
Wow.
And I burst out crying, because obviously that was exactly why I'd gone. And she proceeded then to bring in my grandparents, who were obviously a past, but I had a very good relationship with them, even though I'd never met them, and described, basically, she kind of said, everything's going to get worse, but it's going to get better.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of left there, and I was blown away by it all. And I suppose that was my entry into this kind of work. And then, obviously, what happened with the actual Saturn's return and my mum opened something in me. It was a connection that I hadn't had before, because I surrendered in that moment. And okay. I said, you know, please, God, help my mum. I'll do anything.
Mm.
And I knew I wasn't supposed to be living the way I was. And I knew I wasn't supposed to be snorting cocaine up my nose. And that was kind of a catalyst then for me to start to do more work on myself, basically.
Oh, interesting, interesting. It just occurs to me, actually, that thinking about what you do now, like really connecting people with their dharma, you know, with their true nature and their 5D life, that kind of thing. I mean, even back then, you were working in recruitment, right? So even back then, before your awakening, you were still connecting people with livelihood, as it
were. Yeah. And I think for everybody listening, whatever you're doing right now is not random. You know, everything is leading us to this kind of greater purpose that we have in life. Like if I look at the skills that I was using in recruitment, they're all the skills that I knew. It was like I was in training for what I'm doing now.
Amazing.
Communication, obviously, is something I'm very strong in. But this, even the sales element, I have to use that when people come into my community. There's still an element of, you know, please come and join us and how to work with them. Building communities, which is something I do now.
Absolutely. So there's a whole element of, in a certain kind of way, well, literally being kind of almost divinely guided, even though you weren't aware that you were. And that maybe we all are being divinely guided along the way kind of thing.
Absolutely. And I think knowing what I know now, hindsight's a wonderful thing. but when you are listening to your heart and when you are doing something that you really enjoy, like I really enjoyed that recruitment job for a long time. Mm. And I know it was the correct path for me because financially it was very lucrative and then it enabled me to step into my spiritual path, if you see what I mean.
Yeah, yeah.
But when you know about the principles of Dharma, you know that actually your inner sat-nav is always guiding you. But where we get off track is we can hate a job and we stay in it because we feel we should.
Right.
And because society tells us it's better to be safe with money. And actually it's not how life works. You know, you should always be true to yourself.
Right.
And so if you've got that feeling inside of you that, oh, I just don't want to do this anymore and you don't want to get out of bed and go into what you're doing, it's just your inner sat-nav saying you're off track.
Right, Something needs to change. Yeah, love that. So Saturn returns, big awakening as it were. Obviously you've been on a journey since then. So what are the kind of headlines of the journey between there and kind of here as it were before we kind of get into your current work?
So 28, big awakening. I'm now 43, so I suppose between 28 and 43, I just started listening to myself. And I'd outgrown the recruitment job. I ended up leaving that recruitment job, setting up a business that failed miserably within, like, I don't know, 24 hours or something ridiculous. And I took myself off traveling. I came back. I ended up getting another recruitment job, but I had shifted by that point. I wanted to do something and I wanted to be of service. And I got this idea to create an organization. I climbed Kilimanjaro.
Oh, wow.
With a group called the Yes Group. And the chap who took us up Kilimanjaro was a member of the Transformational Leadership Council.
Oh, okay. Jack Canfield's organization.
You know it well.
Absolutely.
And I just had the idea I wanted to bring that to Europe. And it was a soul-inspired idea because it wouldn't leave me. I think, you know, again, for people listening, you know, that soul-inspired idea, how you distinguish that, it is the thing that you just won't leave you. And you keep, you know, it keeps coming back to that and you keep wanting to do that or go to this place or, you know, and that was what it was like for me. And I, luckily enough, I'm quite sort of, I don't know, stubborn in a way. And I decided, right, I'm going to take a 3-day a week job and I'm going to have 2 days a week to work on this project. And that's what I did.
Yep.
Didn't have a clue how I was going to create it. And obviously this is what I teach now, that we need to know what we want, not how it's going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if I look back at my own life, I knew what I wanted. I didn't have a clue how it was going to happen, but I just took the action. And I would say probably about 6 months later, I got connected to the woman who became my partner in the organization.
Okay.
And she was Jack Canfield's partner in America.
Right.
And it was
a big deal.
Divine intervention, and it was synchronicity at its best.
Wow.
Literally, I remember getting in. I kind of told everybody this, what I was going to do. And now I teach people, we speak our reality into existence.
Mm-hmm.
And I told everybody and I'd written a business plan and I, you know, wherever I could, I was taking action towards it. I was researching people who'd be good members.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the universe hears. And of course, we create our reality through our thoughts, words and actions.
Yep, yep.
So that's what happened. I got connected to the right person. The universe pulled in the right person because they were looking for somebody to work with.
Wow. Yeah, absolutely. So how was that? I mean, we first connected around that time, although obviously we've become a lot closer recently. But, you know, building community has been a massive part of the last decade for you, hasn't it? So just kind of give us a little bit about that, about the community building piece.
Sure. So I've done it in my corporate days. And I, as I said, everything that we are doing is preparing us for what we're supposed to do. So right. I built large networks within the corporate industry, which were always very successful for me. Mm-hmm. And then when I obviously built this organization called the Network, and then ATL, then the Network. And it's fantastic because who you surround yourself is who you become. And mm-hmm. with the Network organization and the ATL, all these people were transformational leaders. They were changing the world, you know, and that's really what I felt my calling was.
Wow.
And of course, you know, it is true. You know, if you surround yourself with those people, that is how it rubs off.
Yeah. And some nice little marinade to marinate yourself in, as it were.
Exactly. And then I suppose I just understood now the principle of listening to myself and trusting myself and following that inner guidance. And so from that point onwards, I created my own community. So I now have a Dharma Life Academy and I have 115 people in a community where we're,
amazing.
It's a year long program where we're building a community of people who are doing their spiritual work.
Wow. Well, so that, I mean, that for me has been, you know, one of the things I've always loved about what you do. It really is about that connection of the notion of what we're here to do, our calling, our purpose, our dharma, and actually making that real in the world, as it were.
Yes.
So how did you come to that? And then kind of, you know, what is kind of like the opening point for those people that are in that kind of thing of, you know, what's my life purpose? What am I, you know, what's the kind of opening point?
How do we do it? So I suppose with myself, what I did with the Dharma Life Academy is I understood that we create our reality, and actually through lots of experiences, one creating the Network and one creating the ATL, that was crazy how that stuff happened. And then I understood it. So I then went and created a business and I found a business partner, and it literally, like, once I got a hang of it, I found my husband, and I was able to use these things to kind of create what I wanted in the world in service to others, I would hasten to add. Mm-hmm. And then I thought, well, hold on, why is no one really doing this? And actually, if we had a community, we could speed up everybody's evolution.
Yeah.
And the planet's evolution, because we, you know, especially now, we need to understand and take our power back. Mm-hmm. We are creating this fifth dimensional reality.
Yeah.
You know, so I knew if I created a community, it would give people support, and it would also give them a way of actually staying in the conversation of how do I create my vision and my heaven on earth? So that was kind of the driving force. And I knew how alone I'd felt.
Yeah, really.
By myself. And then for people listening around their soul and their soul purpose, you know, the principles of Dharma are really clear on this, and they work. The things that you are uniquely gifted and talented in.
Mm-hmm.
So in my own case and your case, communication is one of our top things.
Absolutely.
But also the things that you're purposeful and passionate about. So I'm absolutely passionate about helping people and transformation. And then it's how you do that in service to other people.
Yeah.
So if you look at, you know, most people's journeys, they will have transitioned probably from the corporate side of the thing that they really loved. But now they start to then evolve and grow and then deliver that in a different way. So if we look at, you know, I've come from communicating in recruitment, helping people with jobs.
Right.
To moving into coaching, to moving into spiritual teaching, to moving into Akashic Records reading. And now I combine all those skills.
Yeah.
In what I'm doing. And I suppose for people listening, if you're wondering what yours is, nothing is random. Everything you've gone through is for a purpose and a reason. And often our mess can be our message.
Yeah. Oh, I love that.
So, you know, with me, my depression was a big catalyst for why I wanted to help others not have to go through what I went through. So, you know, if you've come through something like a divorce or something to do with your kids or whatever it is you've come through, health challenges, you know, how can you use that mess to become a message to help other people and further humanity? And I do believe that every single person's purpose is to raise consciousness. We all just do it in a slightly different way, depending on what our soul energy is and obviously what we're uniquely gifted and talented in.
I really love that. That notion of whatever really big challenge we've come through, that's kind of like, that's part of our training, right? That's part of the way that we learn to take these unique gifts we've got, what we're passionate about, and like bring it into, like, rubber hitting the road, as it were.
Yeah, and I would just build on that by saying, you know, now I understand the Akashic Records, you can look at your life lessons.
Mm.
So my first life lesson was healing in the area of health and wellness. And obviously I'd come into a family that had depression. I'd then had depression myself. Mm. So it was like my soul wanted to experience that. And then obviously when I healed in that area, I now use my skills, because obviously I've gone through that,
yeah,
to help other people with it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Love that. So I want to come to the Akashic Records in a moment, because it's something I'm very passionate about as well, and have actually learned a lot from you about. But so, you know, this first step of like stepping into Dharma, stepping into purpose, is this notion of knowing what it is, what you're passionate about, what your talents are, and how you bring that service to, you know, raise consciousness, help other people, as it were. So obviously, it's one thing knowing it, it's another thing then starting to actually doing it, right? That's where a lot of people get really scared. So how do you kind of start that journey or that part of the process?
Yeah, okay. Well, that is exactly why I created the Dharma Life Academy, because we all have this kind of good intention, but if you're around people going that direction, it really helps and serves you.
Mm.
You know, for people listening, I would really... We have to get out of our own way, so our ego mind will tell us, don't do that, stay safe.
Yep.
And of course, what I've found is you need to know what you want, not how it's going to happen.
Yep.
So set your envision, your set your intention, set your vision, give it intention. You have your intention, give it attention. So then that's taking aligned action towards it.
Okay.
And then kind of just chill out. So if I use the network as an example, mm-hmm. my intention, I knew my vision was to create, bring that organisation to Europe. I didn't have a clue how I was going to do it.
Yeah.
So for people listening, know what your vision is.
So just on that for a second, I mean, you know, we hear a lot, don't we, in kind of spiritual communities around, like, hold the vision. It's like, how clear was that picture to you? Because there are a lot of people that find it really difficult to visualise.
Yes.
So how clear was that to you?
Well, we're multidimensional beings.
Mm-hmm.
So what I recommend to people is you do it whatever way you feel comfortable. You could create a vision board. You could just write about what you want to happen. You could then visualize it and just revisit it in a meditation every so often. Whatever works for you. But the point is just get a little, like, it's not going to look exactly like you envisioned, but having a clear intention and idea that you're putting out to the universe, because we're multidimensional. Obviously, you have to then align your thoughts and your actions.
Yeah, absolutely.
As well as be kind of connected in the fifth dimension to your higher self.
Yeah.
Because your higher self has a vision of where it wants you to go and what it wants you to do.
So
when you align all of those three things, you go into your multidimensional power, and that's when you can actually start to create this stuff.
Yeah.
So step one.
Yep.
You've got the intention, which is the vision.
Yep.
And then, as we said, your attention, your action needs to be aligned with your vision.
Mm.
Because most people, what they try and do is they want to progress their lives, but they don't create the vision of where they want to go. So the action is more aligned with where they are now. Whereas if I was looking, because I'd created my vision of this organization, I was doing actions. I'm waving my hands like around like a
loser. Absolutely. It's quite interesting for that, you know, if you could see this.
But of course, my actions were in alignment with where I was going, which, and then of course, there's this element of surrender and trust, because if you're aligning your energy body, you've got your higher self, you're connected to your higher self, your higher self's told you what it wants you to do, you're then aligning your thoughts, your words, your emotions, and your actions.
Mm-hmm.
That is how we're powerful, and that is how we pull it in. And then there is this element of surrender. So intention, attention, no tension.
Tension. That's very good. I like that.
And you let go. And that's what happened. You know, I'd let go, and I went and did this NLP course. And the following day, I just got this... I think it's because, you know, knowing what we know now about blocks, I'd on the NLP course, I cleared a lot of my blocks. And the following day, I got an email out the blue from Marsha, basically saying, do you want to, you know, come and help us set up this organisation?
Nice.
And it was the freak, but it's magic. And we should be living in this magical world.
Right. That's what we had. I mean, that's the thing, isn't it? In this world, we've made, like, magic this fictional thing, like Harry Potter, Lord of the Rings, whatever else. It's real. It is really, really real.
It's freaking real.
Absolutely. We'll get there. So, okay. I love that. Intention, attention, no tension.
Now,
if we imagine we're using this metaphor of like driving down the road, right? So we know where we're going. We're driving there. We're chilling out, having a nice drive. Sometimes the road's a bit bumpy, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, that's like both circumstances, but that's also sometimes, you know, we're bringing like, we're thinking about crap that's going on and doubt and all that kind of stuff. So, there's all the usual stuff that's out there, but you bring a very different approach to this around kind of like the subconscious and the superconscious and the Akashics. About negative blocks of restriction. So tell us, and this has been a big part of your work recently, right?
Yeah.
So tell us about that.
Well, it's funny you use the car analogy because I always say you don't get in a car without knowing where it's going, but people do that with their lives.
Isn't that true?
It's so true.
Yeah.
And then we call it a bump in the road in our community because you're right. You're so going to hit bumps in the road. Life doesn't just appear and how you want it to. But it's how you respond to the bump. So if we get knocked down, we get back up again.
Absolutely. Get back on the horse.
But what I've discovered more recently, and through my own challenges, I might hasten to add, you know, I had some things in my life that I just couldn't work out why they weren't working.
Yeah.
And I'd done everything I could possibly think of. And I was thinking, hold on, there must be more to this than what is happening. And then I started taking sessions with a lady that did the Akashic Records.
Mm-hmm.
And really piqued my interest because obviously it's very, very up my street. So for people listening, the Akashic Records essentially sit in the fifth dimension. So they are a place energetically where every single decision your soul has made is stored.
Since the beginning of time, since kind of thing.
Day dot, yeah. So you can go in and you can basically ask questions around why you might feel blocked in this life. And what I've found through doing this work now for a couple of years is people repeat the karmic patterns of the past lives. So wherever you feel blocked in this life, so for example, I'd always felt blocked around my weight and I was having fertility issues.
Yep.
And, you know, the doctor said I was healthy and, you know, there wasn't anything wrong with me, but there was still nothing happening.
Yep.
And so, when I went in and then I started to train in the Akashic Records. So I suppose I went through lots of sessions with this lady. They really resonated with me. I could feel the difference. I could feel my blocks releasing. One of the other things I was working on was my spiritual business.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I found out that I'd been a spiritual teacher in 10 lifetimes.
Wow.
And I'd made all these contracts where I couldn't charge for my services.
Vows of poverty.
So what was interesting for me is coming from a corporate background where I made money quite easily, I then went into this new business and I couldn't make money for love nor money.
Wow.
And I was like, this isn't me, because I don't understand why this is happening. You know, because from 21 I'd made six figures and then I went into not making any money at all.
Yeah, wow.
But what I suppose I'm trying to share here is that I discovered that those blocks were coming from a past life. And then if you go in and you clear that, and that's obviously what I've been doing with regards to my business, because it's very much taken off now, but I've gone in and I've cleared all the blocks and restrictions that were influencing me in this life. And again, doing it around the other areas. And it's fascinating stuff.
Because, yeah.
You know, how now having done, I would say even hundreds of sessions.
Yeah, I think that's true.
Yeah. You know, you see the parallels with people where they've had problems in a past life and they just repeat that pattern in this life.
Mm.
So for people listening, if there's somewhere that you kind of feel like you're banging your head against a brick wall and you don't really understand why it's not shifting and changing, the chances are it's probably because it's a past life pattern.
Right. Amazing. Absolutely amazing. One of the things that you mentioned there was you kind of said about like your own challenges. One of the things I love about what I know about you and your journey is there are a lot of people out there who teach stuff that they've either picked up elsewhere, picked up out of books. Everything you've done in response to challenges, and you've lived it, as it were. So, you know, basic question of I wonder what the next challenge is going to be, kind of thing. But that's for the future.
Hero's journey, though. That's the hero's journey.
Right. Okay.
And I think, I think for people, again, it took me so long to work that out because none of us get told the true spiritual path. You know, it's a bit of a misnomer and people don't really know what the work is they're supposed to be doing here. And actually, only relatively recently, the pennies really dropped for me that actually it is just, it's around raising your vibration and getting out of the samsaric you know, loop. So this work with the Akashic Record helps you raise your vibration and clear your blocks.
Yep.
So at the same time, you are creating what you want in the world. And I don't think that anybody should teach things that they've not experienced themselves. I just think it's, like, for me, that's, you know, how can you really know what's going on for a person unless you've been through it, something similar yourself?
Yeah.
And that is our hero's journey. And we're all here to take that journey.
Yeah.
And when we look at challenges as opportunities for growth, it's kind of, you know, a complete reframe.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think part of this, isn't it, kind of, you know, I think it's part of both of our core belief of, you know, we are, there are a lot of people, a lot of thoughts out there, aren't there? You know, we're spiritual beings, say, you know, in human form, having a human experience, that kind of thing. But it's like, we're here.
Yes.
And actually,
we're here to experience.
And that's exactly it, right? We're not necessarily here to kind of, you know, get off the planet or escape, right? It's about integration, right? And that's what I love about what you teach. It's really about how do you live your life by bringing in, you know, your spirit, your dharma, all of that kind of stuff. So
I want boots on the ground. I want this stuff to work.
Yeah.
What's the point otherwise? You know, you don't want to just study stuff and then it not work and make an impact in your life.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's totally what I'm about and our community is about, is just like, okay, so it's all very well, I'm going to learn this stuff, but how do I integrate it? And that's why we do a year with people, because you can do a course, but you've got to live it.
Absolutely right. Absolutely right. So, you know, given all of this, you know, I'm going to go right up to like a much bigger pitch. What in your experience or your view is, what's the world we're emerging into? Because we know we're in a massive kind of shift, mm-hmm. and all of that kind of stuff. People are waking up. What's your hope?
Hope. Wow. Yeah. Well, I think, you know, things, we're in this period. The first, you know, 2020 to 2024 is this breakdown of the old paradigm, which is what we're right in the thick of now. And that's going to carry on for another few years. You know, and I think if you can step back and observe it, it's absolutely fascinating to watch it play out.
For sure.
You know, you've literally got two parallel universes operating at the moment. I've got goosebumps coming through my body. You know, you've got people who are in the matrix, believing everything that they've been told, walking around in masks and whatever else. And you've got the people who have stepped out of that and are creating this new earth.
Mm.
So I know that once more and more people step out of the narrative and the matrix, then we can create the new earth quicker. And it's going to be absolutely mind-blowing and beautiful. Like, I feel like I'm a bit of a here to be a pioneer to lead people in that direction. You know, I know we both are.
That's what I know of you.
Yes. And it's exciting because, you know, you, like we said about the transformation you can expect, you know, even in our community, you know, we've got this beautiful vibration of love and everybody supporting one another. And that's why people get such good results, is because they're loved and they're supported and they're not, you know, they're not in blame, shame or guilt.
Yeah.
And so you asked me my hope. My hope is just, you know, we can go as far as we want to go. And I can see beautiful self-governed communities all over the world. You know, people living back on the land, back on the earth, living their purpose, living their dharma. You know, personally, I'd love to live in a community like that where, you know, you know, kids can be safe and run around and, you know, just incredible, incredible. New technology, everybody has their own money, enough money. You know, we eradicate poverty and hunger and like all that stuff that should have been eradicated. There's enough money circulating on this planet to have done that already. But unfortunately, it's been, you know, positioned the wrong way around, not equally.
No, for sure, for sure. So just kind of bringing this kind of together, as it were, first of all, what's next for you? That's something I'm always asking people. What's kind of next for Aloise Surfleet Middleton?
What is next for me? That is a good question. Well, there's lots of things I'm creating. So this idea of a community is, or communities even, and almost a way of creating a reality outside of the current reality where we operate within that reality. So that's kind of, we're working on that at the moment, a friend and I. And then personally, a family, that the baby's coming in, and that's going to be testament to my clearing work, I think.
Yep, absolutely.
Proof is in the pudding.
Yep, absolutely.
And then I think I'm just so keen to be of service to others on this journey. You know, like, I've kind of come from a kind of dark place to now where there's a lot of light, and I know I've got a lot of value I can give and serve people with, helping them with their dharma, you know, and we're working on this new project around virtues as well.
Love it, love it, love it. So if people want to find out about you and your work, just, you know, what first of all, what do you offer? And then where can people find you?
Excellent. Okay. Yeah, please come and say hello. I'm on Instagram, Aloise Life, and I'm also on YouTube. I have a podcast myself, so I have a podcast, Dharma Life Podcast.
And it's awesome.
On YouTube. Yeah, you were on it
recently. Absolutely.
And I've been doing for quite a few years, and obviously we have the Dharma Life Academy as well. But if you're interested in Akashic Records reading, then Aloise.life on my website, and I would thoroughly recommend those because they are very transformational.
Well, having had one, it certainly shifted my life for sure. So absolutely, and we'll make sure all of that is in the show notes and all that kind of stuff as well. So amazing. So if there was like a final word of wisdom that you could give to the listeners in terms of where life is or just whatever, what wisdom would you bestow as a kind of parting gift, as it were?
My favourite quote is, whether you can do or dream, begin it now. Boldness has magic within it. You know, and I just totally believe that we can do, be anything we want to be. You know, it's absolutely humanly possible. If you can see it, you can dream it, you can do it. But get support. Get people around you who can really help elevate you. Don't give up on your dreams. They're given to you for a reason. And, you know, that life is magical.
I love that. What a parting gift. Life is magical. Thank you so much for being on the Sacred Wild podcast. It's been lovely to have you. Yay. And there you go, folks. That was Aloise Surfleet Middleton, one of the most beautiful people I know, one of my best friends. And I'm Chris Roy, and this was the Sacred Wild Podcast. See you again next time. Bye for now.
Thank you so much for joining me on the Sacred Wild Podcast. I really hope you enjoyed this episode and got something meaningful out of it. And if you did, please consider leaving a review on iTunes. Those reviews really help us out, and they're what keep us here. Also, please make sure to hit subscribe and share this podcast with your friends and loved ones. And with that, many blessings, and I look forward to seeing you next time on the Sacred Wild Podcast. Bye for now.